This episode of Auto Dealer Live is brought to you by Flick Fusion.
That's right. It's that time again for Auto Dealer Live.
Boom, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here with David Cribbs, Joe, and the man himself, David Villa. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
Joe's mic's jacked up again.
Yeah.
Dude, every Joe's mic is jacked. Lulu, the funniest part about that is, Joe. By the way, our intros now basically are just like rip fest, right? On like Lou's
pretty much.
Like,
pretty much.
So just how you guys expect that. But Lou, the funniest thing
we
about
we need a camera
it,
on Lou.
Yeah, because here's Lou's face if y'all don't see it. Like Lou, like we hear his mic. Right? You hear everybody else hears his mic being jacked up, right?
Okay. Right.
So yeah. We'll say his mic.
That's
back
right.
And then Lou's face like this. Lou's like,
what do you mean it's jacked up?
What do you like? Oh, it's y'all's ears. All y'all's ears. You guys, you know, hearing's off.
Let me ask my team real quick. Hold on.
You know, the funny thing is we do this every single week.
No, and you know, I listened to the show back last week, and Joe's mic sounds fine on air. It's mm-hmm. just in our ears.
Yeah.
It sounds like
death. Okay. All right, yeah. It sounds
it's
like
terrible.
C-3PO at a disco or something. I don't know what it is.
But. No, it actually sounds, to me, it sounds like he's somehow, like, up in the ceiling or in the clouds mm-hmm. talking down on us.
Yeah.
It's like coming from everywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
It's so like Thanos.
Thanos, that's right.
Auto Dealer Live, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. We're here together, guys. Listen, what a great show, man. And you know, we need to talk about something to get this out here in the monologue before we get into the meat of this show with our guests. We've got some great guests today. But we've got five weeks, baby. What are y'all laughing at? Y'all are kids. You know, everybody listening right now knows exactly what you guys are laughing at.
Oh,
and you know,
wow.
So, it's like I'm in a room of kindergartens.
I'm glad everybody else knows because I have no idea what they're laughing
at. You know what, Chris? Because me and you are going to have an adult conversation.
Okay.
So before we get into the crux of this, the meat of the conversation.
Right.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to announce the next 5 weeks in May, right? Every show in May starting next Thursday, we are celebrating our 7-year anniversary. And listen, we got a little surprise for you guys. You guys ready? What we're calling it? We're calling it the automotive. We're gonna be blowing this out with some promotions. We got some T-shirts being made up right now. We got some cool. You guys wonder what the photo shoot before was about?
Yeah.
We're gonna be giving away some autograph. We're gonna be giving away some autograph posters. Here's the thing: we're going all out. We got a lot of things to give away. We're giving away some. You're gonna have numbered shirts. Because they're only available during the month of May, and they are the original, or the, I'm sorry, the OGs of Automotive Podcast. Come on now. The original gangsters.
That's nice.
Of Automotive Podcast.
OGs.
The OGs. So we're going to give away Auto Dealer Live shirts, the OGs of Automotive Podcast. They'll be here next week, and we're going to give away shirts. All you guys get one, obviously.
Awesome.
I saw Cribs at, you know, wondering. Of course, Cribs. Come on. Right. I saw the look. I can read your mind, man. And
you.
And then we're going to sign some things that we're going to be giving out. We're going to have some fun. We've got some really cool guests. We've been working very hard already. And for the 5 weeks in May, we've got some amazing guests lined up. Some people from 7 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, those that have frequented the show many, many times. We've got some really cool things. I know, Lou, we got surprise callers calling in every week. I don't know who they are. Lou set them up. They're going to be calling in. They're going to be talking about what, you know, when they started listening to ADL, what it meant to them, and, you know, it's just a really fun month, man. So it's going to be really cool. That's going to start next week. You don't want to miss it. And we're going to be promoting it. It's going to be pretty cool.
We should do a split screen where we show when they were on 6 years ago, you know, kind of next to us. Yes, Lou.
Ooh.
I'm going to make it technically challenging. Yes.
Oh. Lou just quit.
That would be awesome. Yeah,
Lou just walked out and quit.
Lou just left.
Lou quit, and then he thought about how much money he's making. And then he said, no, he's like, oh, I'm out. No, I'm not.
No. Yeah, you want split screen? You can do split screen.
Hey, Chris, man. So anyway, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Cribs, you know, Joe, you're the newcomer you're the baby to the bunch, man.
That's right.
You know, and I don't mean because you're the smallest, you know, in stature. You like that, Lou? Got him. But you're the newest. You're the baby to the bunch. And you know what? Look at Lou. Look at Lou doing the split screen. Come on now. Hey, you're the baby to the bunch. Cribs, you were here probably for the longest duration with me, of course, including now.
Sure.
And then Chris was here from mm-hmm. he was the original. OG.
The original OG.
The original OG, right? Or the OG, I should say,
OG.
Right? The OG, not the original OG. The OG, right here with me. And so you guys, you know what? The audience is an OG. They're the original OGs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a blast, man. Are you excited about the Cribs?
I am.
What do you think about, man? What comes to your mind? You know, just we got a few minutes before we bring our
guests. It's like today, you know, I look down and I see Jeff Cowan. And, you know, I remember several episodes with Jeff, and he's a You know, he's a superstar in this business in fixed ops. I'm sorry about my voice, by the way. I sound like Peter Brady.
Why is your voice messed up?
We worked him to death yesterday. That's why.
Yeah, right? 6 hours
six
straight.
Hours
of,
straight.
Six hours straight. Heavy training video. University.
You worked. You went. What you did? What for 6 hours? And what did you say? You did Auditor University.
Yeah,
dude, man, heavy, that's crazy, bro.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
Oh, I wish you guys could be here in the studio with us. All of this would make a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Hey, so, Joe, man, you're a newcomer. What do you think Auto Dealer Live? Not us, man. Not us. Let's get it outside of us. It's always been about, yeah. You know, Cribs, again, referring to really Cribs and I most of the time because we've been together for the longer period. But we've often talked about the fact that it's always the guest, man. It's always the people we have on.
It's all about the guest. I mean, it really, truly is.
You get an hour of this.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll talk about that.
It's just the exposure of the guest. I mean, to have the opportunity to bring in people from literally all over the country that are kind of at the height or doing things that the rest of the industry needs to see or needs to be aware of. It's inspiring. I mean, it's so cool for us because we've built relationships. I mean, this show has been responsible for people moving across country, connecting dots with others in the industry, getting jobs, you know, launching careers. I mean, not that it's, again, it's just a kind of a format that has been able to help facilitate those things. It's the people that that obviously are the stars in the business, and to be able to expose that on this platform is just an honor. I mean, it's so crazy that you and I and the other, you know, Chris and Joe, obviously, as well, that we're able to connect personally with all of these people across the country is just insane. I just, you know, it's exciting.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, I like to touch on that because how many people have we all come in contact with from doing the show that found out they got a job somewhere else in the country because they appeared on the show?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, think about the impact of that.
Oh, so many. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then... How many people have gotten exposure to the point that, you know, that normally would not have gotten that exposure? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, literally GM's going out of their way to move a salesperson halfway across the country simply because they found out what they were doing and thought that they were such high caliber because they were on the show that they end up helping them move across the country and taking a sales job.
And, you know,
that
when,
just
you,
doesn't
when you
happen.
Say show, it's I want to qualify that, too. When you say show... You got to understand, if you're just tuning in, you know what? These guys are talking about themselves and talking about their show. No, that when you say show, what is a show? A show is we're honored and blessed that we've got individuals that, you know, people, first of all, most of the guests that come on this show, a lot of the guests that come on the show, you can't pay anything to listen to because, you know, they're busy, you know, running dealerships and working, you know, bell to bell and selling cars and, you know, and running, you know, running organizations. And so, you know, other than working for them, that, you know, you really, they don't speak everywhere. So it's not like you can, so you can't really pay for it, you know?
Right.
And good those, and if you were paying for it, you know, thinking back to how many times, you know, guys like Grant Cardone have been on the show and, you know, we got some special cool stuff, in the month of May and this involving Grant as well.
Yeah. Dave Anderson.
You know,
it goes on and on
going
and on.
Back and guys like Rick Reichardt, you know, I'm thinking of dealers that are like, I'm talking like in the tops of the nation,
Lisa Copeland,
Brian Benstock, Matt Lasko, you know, Brad Wise, you know, just the wealth of knowledge. So if you could pay for it, you're going to pay a lot.
Yeah.
And but you're getting it. And that's the show. That's what I refer to as the show.
Yeah.
Because you're listening to individuals talk about how they're building their business in the automotive space.
Yes. Yeah,
the resources, man. Mm-hmm. They're giving out their resources. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're coming on, taking time out of their day. Like you said, they're not getting paid, but they're giving out tips, practical strategies, and they're able to go ahead and just freely let people hear what makes them successful.
Absolutely,
it's a great opportunity.
It's a tool. It's a resource. It is. And so, well, I'm excited. So that's going to be starting next week. If you just tuned in, a couple of things. But next week we're going to be starting our 7-year anniversary, and the month, you know, we're going to go off the theme of the OGs of automotive podcast, and you know, and we're going to be giving away some special edition numbered T-shirts. So if you have one, they're going to be individually numbered, and it's going to say established in 2012. February 2012 is when we started the show. So we're a little bit over 7 years already, but we picked the month of May to do it. And for 5 weeks, we're going to be giving away shirts. We're going to give away, somebody mentioned, I think it was Mike Phillips asked to sign stuff. Yeah, we're going to autograph some custom posters of us, the show memorabilia and looks, and it's going to have, of course, the OGs of Automotive Podcast on it as well, to have our signatures. Just something that, again, you can only get in the month of May. We're not going to get, you know, a lot of these printed up to have after. And so very excited cool. about this, man. So let's do this. Why don't we start this, having people share the show today, and let's give away two of our, let's give away one of the autographed limited edition. We're going to probably give away about 50 all month of the autographed Auto Dealer Live, the OGs of Automotive Podcast posters. Let's give away one of those, and let's give away one of the t-shirts today. What do you guys say?
Nice.
Awesome.
All right, so what do you got to do that? What do you got to do to win it, Chris?
All you got
to
do is share the show. That's all you got to do for an opportunity. Mm. That's it.
That's it. So what does it look like, Cribs? Talk about that right before we go to break and bring our guest on. What does that mean?
What does what look like?
How do you do it? How do I win? How do I get this t-shirt? How do I get this poster?
You share the show. Uh-huh. And at the end of the show, after we put everybody's name in the hat that has shared the show, we're going to draw those out, and we're going to draw a winner. Mm.
Come on. I mean, there's nothing between you and sharing the show but laziness and air. And they're with the air. So there you go. So now all you got to do is just share.
Boom. All right. Joe just shared.
I might consider sharing.
I might. I think I did already. All right. So let's go to break. What do you guys say? We got on the other side of the break. Let me tell you guys why you want to share and why you want to come back. We have Owen Moon, CEO, co-founder at Fixed Ops Digital. We have Jared Kilway, Director of Digital Strategy Solutions at Germain Automotive Partnerships. Big deal there, right? We got Jeff Cowan, as Cribs mentioned earlier, at Jeff Cowan's Pro Talk, Inc. And then we have Amelia Sapowski. She is a sales consultant at Starling Chevrolet. She's blowing up social media these days. She does a great job. We've got an incredible panel right on the other side of the break, and that is why you tuned in today. Not to hear us ramble. You tuned in to hear these experts.
I'm excited.
Right on the other side.
Let's
do
it.
We'll be right back. Be done after you form some type of relationship. One call closes are few and far between. Look, they're going to happen. And if you're on your A game and you're swinging enough, you're going to hit a home run. But if the baseball players that have been great.
Because at the desk, I always ask questions. Do they drive the car? Are all the decision makers present? These people have time to do business? Are they putting you under time pressure?
When they do them because they want to and not just because they have to, now you're on the way to a healthy culture and environment within your workplace.
Approximately 70% of all automotive shoppers are more likely to purchase after viewing a dealership video. And though many dealerships are utilizing effective video strategies to drive shoppers to their website, very few automotive websites provide the exact video content that today's shopper desires the most. FlickFusion makes it easy for you to start and scale an affordable video marketing strategy, including end-to-end video content and distribution automation that provides your automotive shoppers with unique and engaging video content that is proven to increase all of your lower funnel KPIs. And the best part is that all of your video content is hosted on FlickFusion's award-winning SmartFlix video marketing platform to combine each individual shopper's unique shopping behavior across multiple touchpoints with CRM, DMS, and other sales and marketing data triggers to enhance each unique shopper's experience and provide the most informational and relevant video presentation possible for each shopper. It's intelligent video for intelligent dealerships.
Hey, we're back. You're watching Auto Dealer Live, and we're about to bring on our amazing panel of automotive experts. Today, we have Owen Moon, CEO and founder of Fixed Ops Digital. We've got Jared Kilway, Director of Digital Strategy and Solutions at Germain Automotive Partnerships. We've got Jeff Cowan, owner of Jeff Cowan's Pro Talk, Inc., and we've got Amelia Sapowski, sales consultant at Starling Chevrolet. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey. Good afternoon. Good. Thanks for having us. Good afternoon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And, you know, we'd be remiss not to talk about fixed ops today. We've got some experts in that area. I'll start off with Jeff Cowan. First of all, Jeff, hey, it has been a while. Thanks for coming back on the show. We've always enjoyed your contribution.
Well, hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And I've been looking forward to this all week long, and I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Even shaved my neck for this today.
Oh, perfect. Wow. Perfect. Love it. So, Jeff, you know, obviously, you know, you consult with dealers all of the time. In fact, you put processes in place in the service arena and service drive. You know, one question I have for you is when you're looking at dealerships, when dealerships are reaching out and partnering with you, are you finding that the dealers that work with you are more often a dealer who maybe is suffering in that area that just needs a fix? Or are you seeing some dealers that the more likely scenario is that they're doing well, but they want to figure out how to increase and do a little more?
You know, you kind of hit it right on the nose. It's really a little bit of both. Most of our business comes from the most progressive dealers, the ones that are either already the best and they want to stay the best, or they're right on the cusp of becoming the best and they want to be the best and they just want to go. And then all the way at the other end of the spectrum, we get people call up and they're about to lose everything. You know, maybe they're getting ready to lose the dealership. Maybe they're getting ready to lose their job, whatever. So we get, I would say it's probably 20% of our business is the most progressive dealers. 20% is the ones I'm saying this backwards. 20% of the people that are about to lose their job, and about 80% are the most progressive people.
Yeah, see, I find that fascinating. I anticipated that was going to be the answer. It always goes back to those who, you know, as Jeff mentioned, those who are doing well or progressive. They're the ones that are typically reaching out for additional assistance to go further. And I just think that's an interesting thing. So we'll go to Owen Moon, CEO and co-founder of Fixed Ops Digital. And Owen, you know, when I read that title, Fixed Ops Digital, can you just share a little bit? I'm assuming that maybe that's a little bit of a niche area. Could you share briefly what that digital space might be looking like?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, thanks for having me on the show, guys. I've been looking forward to this show as well. You know, the fixed ops side of the business definitely does not get the attention that we know it deserves, and that obviously being a huge profit center for the dealership. So, Fixed Ops Digital, what we're really focused on is driving traffic to the dealership's website from a service perspective. While most of your agencies and digital marketing companies are obviously helping dealerships sell cars, you know, we're working on the other side of the business, helping them drive more awareness through content, SEO, and digital marketing from the service side. And that includes all fixed ops, you know, from service, parts, tires, and even the body shop.
Right. So real quick, can I just ask a question about that? Because and I guess we can go to Jeff on this, because when you're talking about driving traffic into the service department, I know sometimes that the service departments can, you know, they can get flooded with traffic. They can get flooded with people coming in. And one of the big issues on CSI many times could even be how long it took for their service to get completed. So what would be, I guess now, being that the traffic's coming in, what would be a strategy to maximize and keep the flow going well, but maximize your opportunity with the traffic, but also make sure that they're getting taken care of properly and handled right with appointments and so on and so forth?
That question was directed toward me?
Yes. To Jeff.
Well, you know, that's a great question. And it's really a very simple answer is first, you know, the dealership today, and I might come across a little bit negative today, and I don't mean to, but I'm just going to tell you, you know, answer your questions the most straight up way I can. But most of the car dealerships out there today, including the manufacturers, they don't know who this customer is. So the first thing they need to do is identify who this new customer is, because they're trying to digitize them. That's probably the wrong words. They're trying to technology them to death, and it's not the answer. So first, we've got to figure out who the customer is, because they're not responding to the technology the way that people are trying to make you believe they are. And all you got to do is look at the numbers the last 10 years, and they've fallen through the floor. And you know, I can address those if you like. So first thing is, who is this customer? Second thing is you create a process to handle that customer. Once that process is created, then you train your people to be able to accurately and fluently deliver that process. And so when the door opens up and I walk over there as an advisor, I know who I'm working with, I know why I'm working with them, I know what to say, I know how to set their expectations, and the like. So, you know, it's really just a three-step program. Who is your customer? What is they responding to? And it's not technology. And then, are your people prepared to handle them when they come in? And sadly enough, most people are not equipped and trained to be able to handle the customer walking through the front door. So, you know, what you've seen is you've seen hours per repair order and the customer paid side fall through the floor, you know, including oil changes. 10 years ago, the national average was 1.8. Now it's 1.3. 10 years ago, customer retention was almost 50% when it comes to service at car dealerships. Today, they're struggling to hold on to 29%. Effective labor rate, you know, used to be in the 80% range. Today, it's 70, closer to the 70% range. So all these numbers keep falling through the floor, and the customer is going away. And it's because, you know, we're not trained to handle them the right way. We don't have the processes in place.
Well, let me,
because it's never been easier, ever, and I'll throw one extra one in there, ever, to tell a customer, make them happier on a service drive than it is right now.
So, yeah, thank you, Jeff. And this is David Villa. Amelia, let me go to you really quick, because I want to slightly shift into how, you know, into the, you know, retaining the customer. Jeff mentioned, I think, one thing that might get the attention of, besides the, you know, the we're looking at two different sides here. We're looking at the fixed ops, and we're also, I think, we'd be remiss not to look at the sales from the fixed ops. And, you know, a dealer, you know, is concerned about all of that. And so, you know, if customer retention drops off, one of the reasons I can think of, just as a common sense, is that, you know, a lot of OEMs are, you know, no longer are they only fixing their vehicles. You know, they're opening up to really work on everyone. So, you know, a customer pretty much finds someone they like and so forth. So, Amelia, it might be up to salespeople a lot of times to help retain that. And I look at this, Amelia, and I want to ask your opinion, you know, as almost a cherry pick when it comes to selling, because, I mean, this is the one place, like, you know, where you have a customer, I don't want to use the word trapped, but you have a customer, you know, there for a period of time. You have a customer,
captive.
Captive. Yeah. And so, you know, I want to ask you, you know, what is your role as a sales professional, and how do you do it? Do you like it? You know, are you good at it? Are you seeing, you know, growth? How do you play a part in really retaining this customer and maybe gaining sales out of this department?
I think first and foremost is just being a friendly presence. I walk through a lot and just ask people if they want coffee, water, tell them to make themselves feel at home, kind of break that barrier down, because sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I will take a coffee. And then you start talking to them, realize they're having transmission problems. And then a lot of times I'll check in with their service advisor. So there's a lot of opportunities and moving parts that can go into converting a customer successfully. I think on average, I have 4 to 7 sales a month from my service drive.
Yeah, that's good.
In addition to referrals and social media, just because I've taken the extra time to make friends with service advisors, bring in donuts, offer people coffee, just little things here and there to kind of gain their trust and make them a raving fan and customer for life. So there are little things you can do. You have to be creative with it.
Your Cribs, I'm listening to him. Thank you, Amelia. I'm listening to her, and I'm thinking, you know, I was going to ask, and then she answered it for me, because at first I thought, you know, she might have stayed a little more conservative, but she didn't. She got into it. But, you know, I was going to ask, is it an opportunity? Is not only is it an opportunity, but is there an opportunity for us to really get aggressive somewhat? Not aggressive in a bad way, but get aggressive, deliberate about the fact that, hey, I'm going to try to engage this customer, because, look, you'll find they're probably, in my experience, you know, customers have issues if they're in the service department, and they may and they may not know they can qualify for a new car. They may not know what's really available. And I think that if their guard's down, and that's one thing about the service department, a lot of times their sales guard is down, Dave. And, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, there's no mystery here that this area is a gold mine, even in the actual lounge area, right? Here's the thing, you mentioned that the customer's kind of captive, and that's true. I mean, as we go out, typically when people come in the store, we're often faced with, you know, deadlines. You know, I've only got a few minutes, this and that, or I want to get through this quickly, where the service customer knows they're kind of content, like they know they're there for a little while. So it's a great opportunity to really cut through the dialogue. You're also not there initially on those conversations selling them. So for example, Amelia, when she goes in the service department, I can visualize what she's doing. You know, she's connecting mm-hmm. with a customer, offering them a little hospitality, and then it winds up in the conversation because they know she's a salesperson. It evolves into a conversation that could lead to a deal. By the way, Amelia, those are impressive numbers, 4 to 7 out of the service department as a salesperson is very, very respectable.
Let me just add to that too, because
thank you. I appreciate that. And I think also just to add that in there, I have developed a really great relationship with all of my techs as well as my service advisors. We're a little bit smaller of a dealership, so we have 3 service advisors, and I'm really fortunate that they've seen how hard I work and the level of service I provide my customers, that I've earned their trust to be able to have them take their valued service customer by the hand to me and say, Amelia will take great care of you. We will make sure that, you know, that you drive out of here either in a new car or, we'll fix your current car. And a lot of the times it's a really, really easy conversion because they already have trust built up with the service advisor that they've been seeing. So for them to stick their neck on the line and refer them to a salesperson, that really breaks down the barrier a lot quicker.
That's great.
You know, one of the comments, before we move on, I just want to read one comment because Jess Katz, it just said something I thought was really interesting. Scroll back up, Lou. Jess Katz said something that I think is really cool before we move off this particular little topic. Another bonus. This is, and I love this because I like gross, man. You know, I think that that's not a bad word, and I think that we don't talk enough about it. And, you know, listen, we as individuals, you know, especially on the business owner side and manager side, I mean, you're in it to make money as well by keeping happy customers. But, I mean, you're there for profit. And another bonus, service customers, Jess says, conversions should have higher profits because they haven't started shopping yet. It's a good point.
Yeah, hey, that's true. So, that's true. Plus, you have home field advantage in the sense of, we already know that they have some trust in the dealership. They're there. They're comfortable. They probably purchased there before, more than likely. Let's go and get Jared Kilway into the conversation, Director of Digital Strategy and Solutions at Germain Automotive Partnerships. And Jared, you know, the question I would have for you is, what do you feel like the one area of your service department or service area, what do you feel the one area that you guys feel like maybe you have a strength where, you know, hey, we have this down pretty well. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, thanks. You know, first and foremost, thanks for having me here today. Really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. You know, in terms of the strengths that we've had and built, it all comes down to basic process. You know, what is the process from, as Amelia was talking about, you know, getting in front of the customers that are in for service? And then from there, what's that process look like? You know, are you going right to a trade appraisal? Are we going to, you know, trying to qualify them too early? Or are we trying to really just, you know, take care of our customers and make sure that they are happy with their overall service experience so that, you know, if they get word from their advisor that they have a $4,200 bill, it's a situation they've already have a smiling face, they've met, they've enjoyed a cup of coffee and a 5-minute conversation. The guard is down. They're more, you know, interested at that point to have any conversation about looking at their overall options in terms of the next steps.
That's good.
Yep. You know, I'd like to throw this question out to.
Well, I'd like to throw something else out there, if I may. This is Jeff.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, if you there's another way to sell a lot of cars, and it's through service. And it'll take me a second to explain this, but it's worth hearing. You know, if you want to sell more cars, sell more service. Because what's going on in the industry right now, you know, with a 29% customer retention rate and 71% of people who buy a car that get a free oil change never go to claim the free oil change, there's something amiss. And what's a myth is these customers are educated. These customers do the same thing you and I do before we go buy something, and we Google it. And so when we Google it, we find out what we need. And you know, if you Google a repair, you're typically led to one of the major blogs where you've got a master technician that tells you everything you need, how long it's going to take, and what it's going to cost. So the customer comes in prepared to buy. Then what happens is the service advisors, most of them are not trained, and so they don't recommend everything that this person's been told they need it. Number one. Number two, most service advisors are afraid to ask for the sales. Matter of fact, at ProTalk, we've discovered that over 60% of the work a technician finds is never even shown to the customer because the advisor, the untrained advisor, starts making judgments of things they make up in their mind on why this customer is not going to buy this stuff. All right. So 60% of the work found is never even told the customer. So where am I going with this? If you want to sell more cars, sell more service, because if I do my job, question the customer the right way, get their vehicle in our state-of-the-art facility, have my factory-trained technician do a multi-point inspection, and then walk back over to my customer and show them everything that's on the multi-point inspection that they're expecting me to show them, and I sell it to them, everything they need, their car's going to run better. Mm-hmm. If their car runs better, then they're happier. And if they're happier, they give you better survey scores, and they come back and do retention. Your retention comes on because they're happy. And then what happens, they look back over their now 100,000 miles, which it seems to be what the average person's driving. They go, you know what? When the salesperson sold me this, they told me I'd have no problems and no extra expenses. And boy, you know, outside the routine maintenance and some minor repairs, like they said, this car's done what they said. So why wouldn't I go back another one? Because it lasted. On the flip side, if you're not showing your customer what they need, they don't buy it, then their car doesn't run well. If their car doesn't run well, they're not happy. If they're not happy, you don't get the survey scores, and they start going other places like 71% of the people are doing now. And then when they get to the 100,000-mile mark, since their car is not running as well as it should be because they were never shown what they truly need, they look back and they say, you know, the salesperson told me this car would last me easily 100,000 miles. And with no or little expense, and just the last 2 years alone, I've had to drop $3,000 or $4,000 in it over time just to keep it running. So why would I go back and buy another one? So if you wanna sell more cars, the first step is sell more service, because this customer today, they are ready to go. This customer today is way different than it was 10 years ago. So what happens is for the salespeople, like we're talking here, the conversion rate even gets easier because if I'm already happy with the car, I know it's a good one. I'm less like, you know, it just gets easier and easier and easier. So that's something that's often overlooked because there's a big fallacy in the auto industry that states if you sell people a lot of service, they're not going to be happy. And that's just not true. You know, so if you really want to sell more cars, sell more service, because that's what because if the car runs, then they're going to be happy with it. If it's not efficient, economically sound, comfortable to drive, smooth riding, and all that stuff, mm-hmm. they're not buying another one. And all one has to do to prove that out, then I'll be quiet here, is look at Toyota. You know, they've done everything they can to keep their customers off their service drives and give away stuff for free. And so they're not being handled correctly, and their number in the last decade's dropped from 1.8 to 1.2. You take a look at Honda, on the other hand, who preaches service, and their numbers are solid, you know. They're solid. They're 1.7, I think, national average with them, and it could be higher than that. But the reason is because they're taking care of the cars. So that's something that's often overlooked. It's something I'd strongly encourage you to do. If you want to sell more cars, sell more service.
Let me just add to this and just shift it.
Yeah, Jeff nailed it there with that one.
I want to shift it to, you know, going back to being in the service department. That's right.
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, Joe, you're on air.
I know. Okay. I know I am. So, but here's the thing that's interesting about the service department. There's a lot of people who are servicing their vehicles in the dealership that have not have not purchased from that dealership.
Right.
So,
dude, your mic is
so I say that.
Jacked up.
I know it is. I say that because there's an opportunity, because too many people think that just because they're servicing their car there doesn't that they bought their car there. And so that they might be tied to a salesperson. There's some people in there that have no salesperson, and they would love to have a friendly presence, just like Amelia said, who can help them with their next purchase. So that's a huge gold mine.
Amen. Well said.
So then my question is, when in the process, because sales has a hand in what's going on in service, right? As far as a retention aspect goes. So when in the sales process does a salesperson or sales manager get involved and introduce the service department?
Mm. You asking that to somebody?
I'm throwing that out there. So any of you can answer that.
Well, I'll take that on. It should be done at the delivery of the vehicle, either virtually, because, you know, sometimes the service department is closed at 6 o'clock, so cars are sold from 6 until 9 o'clock. So what do? So you do it virtually, or you do it in person. And the big struggle that most car dealerships have is accountability. And so they can't get their salespeople and their sales team to do that. And so all you do is you just do like you do with everything else. F&I has a checklist. On the checklist, it says, did you introduce the person to the service department? And if they said yes, then that salesperson gets paid. Mm-hmm. If they don't, they don't. I know that sounds harsh, but the best time to introduce them is either while they're waiting to go into F&I or right after they drive the car. And then I would strongly encourage, you know, we'll take some pages from history, go back and invite the customer back in at about 1,000 miles for a free inspection in a car wash, and or have a service meeting at night where you explain to them how to change tires and what's under the hood and all that stuff like people used to do. I mean, so it's got to be done right then and there.
So why is a salesperson wouldn't maybe you just go ahead and walk them over and schedule their first maintenance in the first 3 months?
Well, in some stores, that's what's required.
I mean, but I'm saying, shouldn't that be part of everybody's process?
It should be, and everybody talks it. But the bottom line is it doesn't get done because, you know, take a look at this number, 71%. Okay, 71% of people who buy a brand new car and get a free oil change with it never go back to claim it. 71%. So what's that telling you? It's telling you either A, they didn't know you had a service department, B, nobody showed them a service department, or C, they think you don't know what you're doing. So, you know, if you're a salesperson, let's sell the service department. You know, hey, look, if you're so smart for buying the investment vehicle, Mr. Customer, it's one of the best ones on the street. We never have any concerns with it. People just love it, and they come back and buy them over and over and over and over again. The reason they do is because our service department, they're the absolute best on the planet. I mean, it's unbelievable what these people do, how efficient they are, how economically sound they are. And the like. I mean, people just love these guys back here, bringing birthday cards and cakes and all kinds of stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you back and introduce you to them and show you how to get your car set up so when you come in, you experience that too, because you're smart from getting this vehicle from us, and you'll be smart to come back to our service department. And by the way, did you know you get a free oil change?
Right.
You come back
Amila,
to a free oil change,
Amila.
Wash your car, and yeah, we will show you why we're the best. This is
right.
A great thing.
Amila, I got a question for you. So,
well, guys, this is Owen. One thing just to reiterate on that, there's a stat that says that customers are 2 times more likely to service with that dealership if indeed they are introduced to the fixed ops director, the service advisor, that type of thing. So the numbers definitely don't lie there, but it's amazing whenever I speak at different conferences or at other 20 groups, things like that, I ask that question all the time, and only 10% of people raise their hand, if that. So we know that it's a broken process that needs to be fixed.
Yeah. All right. So,
and I totally agree about that. I think a lot of salespeople let the customer control them as far as time and stuff, mm-hmm. and they don't focus on the really important things. And I know that. So my dad was a GM mechanic for about 38 years, and he just retired. So I have the utmost respect for the back of the house. And I actually just had my boyfriend come on after 10 years in a different career. He is now a tech in our garage. So I use that to my advantage. I bring him out. I have them shake his hand. I introduce him and say, well, this is actually my boyfriend, Michael. I was like, but, you know, he's one of our trusted service techs, and he will be servicing your car when it comes in. And people love that it's like a, well, someday husband and wife kind of thing, and that we're invested. They see the investment. And then I take him by the hand and bring him to my 3 service advisors. I joke around a lot with them, and I say, well, it's Susie. She's pretty bad, so you probably don't want to talk to her. And then you start laughing because Susie's been here forever, and everybody knows Susie, and she's awesome. But, you know, it's just little things like that is introducing them, making them feel like this is their home. They're safe here. We're going to help them with anything that comes across their plate. And I think that a lot of salespeople forget to do that, and they need to. And it's like the same thing as we were talking about earlier, be hospitable. My background's in hospitality, so I am just trained naturally with servitude. How can I help you? What can I help you with? And customers really like that. They like that personal touch, and they like feeling at home. They know their service advisor's name. And I think that's so important for us to do to keep the back of the house going.
Yeah, right.
And, you said something that was just brilliant there, young lady, that is very, very insightful. And that's this. You said the service advisors don't take control of their customers. And that is the number one by far, a million miles away above everything else. They don't take control of their customers. And the reason they don't is because they don't know how. You know, so yeah. You're very insightful in that. I mean, it's just a matter of doing what you do.
For salespeople too. The salespeople need to understand that they have a process, and in order to give them the best experience possible, we need to follow those processes. Like I learned on the last show, it's like rocking a baby to sleep. This is part of the process, and it's very important, and it's very meaningful to their entire overall experience.
It's good.
Right.
Yeah, very.
I'd like to go to Jared real quick for your closing comments. I know you've taken a lot in the show where there's been a lot of things discussed. So, you know, I'll let you take it away and give us your closing comments.
So, you know, yeah, it's been amazing content here. You know, Jeff is always providing amazing content behind it. The biggest thing for today's focus is really utilizing all of the data that we have. One of the things we've been so successful with at my Toyota store just down the road from you guys down in Naples is the fact that we have built the process, but we've also built the team and culture around the service drive and all of fixed operations department, from accessories to parts to doing complimentary tread depth analysis for people's leases that are expiring here in the next year, just letting them know that, hey, by the way, here's where you're sitting now from a tread depth. We do have our tire sale going on. You don't need them now, but you will based upon your driving behavior and habits. And utilizing the data from Toyota and social media marketing for fixed ops, we've had some great success with it and learned a lot from this. So I really appreciate you guys having me on here today.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jared.
Hey, Owen, I know you've been sitting back too, and I'd like to get your closing comments. And
yeah, no, appreciate it. Again, thanks for having me on. It's been a great discussion. You know, one of the things I think about when I look at fixed ops marketing as opposed to sales is that just like from the sales side where we're building out a value proposition on why someone should buy a vehicle from that dealership, we're also now need to do that a better job of that from the service perspective. Because at the end of the day, only 33% of all customers go back to a dealership to get service once the warranty is up. It's a huge problem. And so what we are really focused on at Fixed Ops Digital is building content and marketing to help educate the customer. And when we can do that, when they finally do get to the dealership for service, as Jeff has pointed out, and so has Amelia, it makes their job a lot easier because if we can be transparent with our pricing, we can educate the customer on what services are needed, especially those late ownership services, which I think we've neglected in a lot of cases. It gives us that opportunity to really build that relationship with the customer before they actually show up. And so that's one of the focal points that we're doing as a firm, as an agency, and why we're seeing the success that we are for the dealerships that we're working with. So, you know, I would challenge anybody to look at what they're doing from a fixed ops content perspective on their website. And if you aren't putting a lot of focus on that, ask yourself why. Because in today's age, with people hanging onto their cars longer, with, you know, obviously lower margins, especially on new cars, you have to own the back of your house. And that's where I think that the opportunity really is for most dealerships across the country. So, again, guys, thanks for having me on. I do appreciate the time.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Amelia. Amelia, give us your closing remarks. Thank you so much for coming on and go ahead and wrap it up however you see fit.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm actually standing in the garage as we speak. I had a customer come in that needed something, so I threw it on mute, put my headphones on, and sprinted out here. And I really think that it's important to understand that we function as a whole. You know, as salespeople, we need to have great relationships and establish trust with our service advisors and our techs. So they know who to take their customers who need something to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the techs and the service advisors don't know their sales staff well enough to be able to know who to bring them to or when it's time for to convert someone into a future buying customer. So I think really just developing a good relationship with the rest of your team so they have trust in you and, you know, showing up early, bringing donuts, doing little things to talk to people and strike up conversation while they're sitting in the waiting room really helps them get their guard down and feel appreciated and cared for. And I can't thank you guys enough for having me on this show today. I really appreciate it. I love what I do, and I love talking about how we can help our people better.
Thank you very much, Amelia. We'll go to Jeff Cowan. Jeff, give us your closing remarks, and I appreciate you being on, sir.
Sure. No problem. I appreciate it. I'm more than happy to join you anytime I'm invited. Just a couple of things before I give my closing comments. I want to do a shout-out to Alan Ram. You know, he passed away a few years ago, as everybody knows, but he was one of your biggest fans ever. I mean, he talked about you guys in the show incessantly all the time. So when you're going back and you're doing your history, you might want to remember him. His sister's still running his company. It's as big as it's ever been, and the content is as good as it's ever been. As a matter of fact, right before he passed away, he had just completed filming a brand-new program that's out there. So, you know, he was just a big fan of yours, and yes, so was. Maybe you can put some of his stuff up there too.
Absolutely.
And then on another note, you said, "Hey, May, you're celebrating your anniversary." Well, as luck would have it, May, being a boy from Indianapolis, is Indianapolis 500 time. And as you may or may not know, I wrote a book about the Indy 500. It's the number one selling business book based on the Indy 500. And what I'd like to do is, we've actually turned it into a video program. I'd like to give you five of the video programs and five of the books to give away next month any way that you like, if you're interested in doing that.
Yeah,
it's a fun book. And then the only other thing I'll say to close it out is you know, my big message to everybody would be is that you can't tech your way through the service department. You know, I'm a big fan of multi-point inspections, tablets, emails, texting, and all that stuff. But we're in a people business. And 85% of all sales that are made in the United States of America on a daily basis are done through voice-to-voice or human-to-human contact. And it's the same thing here. You know, so the key is if you really want to have 80-85% customer retention, hours per hour in the 2.5 range, 92-95% effective labor rate of the door rate, perfect survey scores, you have to train your people to get them. It's a people business. It won't just happen overnight. And it won't just happen because you staff the people. You've got to train. You got to look at this department like it's the sales department. Just like you have sales meetings nearly every day or at least a few times a week with your car salespeople, you've got to do the same with your service sales people. So that'd be my big message. And I thank you for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. I love you guys. And if I can ever help you out again, give me a call. I'm at your beck and call.
Hey,
you guys are great. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And we'll definitely take you up on that giveaway. We do appreciate your generosity. We will absolutely be showcasing Alan Ram, as well as he is a huge part of where we've come from and a great, great guy, great friend. So thank you all for this amazing panel. Owen Moon, Jared Kilway, Jeff Cowan, and Amelia Sapowski. Amazing panel, great content. We've had great feedback. Look forward to having you guys back on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Great show.
Thank you.
Great content, Chris. Great content. Cribs had to leave. He had to run out to an appointment. But, Joe, I know you're not far behind him. I think you have a plane to catch, right?
Soon.
And so, hey, great. Guys, I think this show, every time, you know, we think, you know, the automotive business, sometimes people ask, you know, they're coming on the show. And I think sometimes you guys even ask this and we ask this. What are we talking about? You know, and the reality is we're talking automotive. And it's interesting, you know, there's this business. It's so vast and there's so much to talk about, but then yet it's so simple, and it comes down to some of the same core principles whenever you look at it. You know, it always comes back to people, comes mm-hmm. back to process, right? It comes back to, you know, preparation. It comes back to these things. And, you know, no matter what we're talking about, you know, really, because you can have phenomenal products. And I think it really, you know, is a testament to the type and caliber of individuals that are in the automotive industry. You can have some of the greatest products and greatest processes even that are built and invented, but if without the people, the special people that make this industry what it is, you know, they fall flat.
True.
And many of them have, you know. So I just it's that's what this show's about. That's what this industry's about. That's what we're going to be talking about throughout the month of May. Thank you to Jeff Cowan. That's going to be awesome. We'll give that away. I've got some ideas just based on that, Lou, to get with you on. as well. So he gave me some ideas on some other things to add to the cool month. We're going to have a really, really cool month. Chris, one before we bring the giveaway, we're going to be giving away to everyone who shared the show. You get your names in a hat, a bowl, and we're going to give away one of our the OGs of Automotive Podcast shirts. Mm-hmm. They're numbered, and there's only going to be a very, very limited edition. We're going to give away one of those today, and we're going to give away a signed foam board poster that also is a limited edition that we're going to all sign. That has is a picture of us and our team and in the ADL set and things like that. So it's going to be pretty cool. What do you guys say?
I'm excited about that. But I want to go back to a little bit of what we just talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. And I really wish we got into this. Jeff was talking about how low the numbers are of retention in the service drive. And I think one of the reasons that may be, and I think it's been a problem forever in the automotive industry, in that there seems to be this wall of tension, mm-hmm. in not every dealership, but 60 or 70% of them, between the sales and the service department.
Yeah,
and I'm going to venture to bet that that's a big reason for the retention in the service department, because of that wall of tension that there is between the two operations.
Yeah, that definitely adds to it. I think there's also one of the things when it comes to retention is also what's being done with, proactive outbound calls to go ahead and keep reminders in front of those customers as well. Like, one of the things that Toyota does really well is they actually monitor the redemption of these complimentary services. So they look at the 5K, 10K, 15, 20, and 25,000 mile service intervals, and then they actually have statistics or analytics on that to see how many customers are redeeming their 5K, 10K, 15, and so on and so forth. So basically they're looking at metrics. So the 5K, which is just really your multi-point inspection and your tire rotation, not many people are doing it. So maybe it's like 15% redemption. Yeah. And then 10K, which is the actual oil change, is like 70%. And then it drops again and it goes like this. So how do they keep it consistent? And which goes back to, again, retention also. So I really think, and again, this is something I love too, because being in service with Service BDC and having that opportunity, and I know we could have went into that as well, it all comes together as playing a part for mm-hmm. that ultimate retention. But there is that clash, and there's mm-hmm. a break in the bridge between sales and service also. I see that happening a lot.
Well, it comes down to a lot of our shows because it's about people, process, it's about these things. That there's when there's disconnects with something not being effective, including this part of the division within the dealership, mm-hmm. it always comes down to broken things. It comes down to broken things. It comes down to disconnects, and so so it rings true in that as well, and mm-hmm. so in the service department as well. So amazing show, amazing. Amazing guest. Let's give away
some
stuff.
We got some stuff to give away. Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Hey, you want to read a couple comments? Because I think that's always something we've tried to do. Mike Phillips says, the tension is because neither side communicates with the other well, and often, not always. Each side points at the other for issues instead of taking real ownership. Good point, Mike. Mm-hmm. Let's scroll up and get some earlier comments.
Well, the other thing along with those lines is your sales department needs to be sold on your service department. Because how many stores, because you go and consult in actual stores, mm-hmm. how many stores you've been in and you hear the whispers of some of the salespeople going, our service department sucks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a big issue.
Yeah.
Yep. And so let's look at Tony Tito, Washington, the dealership in its own community, and we should be able to know our personnel. Just what Amelia is saying, it makes our customers feel better when they know that we know where to go within our community to get the job done or information on anything automotive. Great point. Let's go read a couple more here. All right, let's see. Sandra Benstock Delio. This is why you need Service BDC, to have the customer call those customers and bring them in for the free services. Great point. Let's read two more. William McCormick, Toyota actually has a delivery checklist that includes the salesperson introducing the customers to service and also scheduling their first appointment for them. It's good. Mm-hmm. Let's go up and get somebody here that we never. Let's see. Jenna Hansen. And we'll read two more because we'll read those two there. I'll read Christopher Tyler Brown and Jenna Hansen. Jenna Hansen says, where is she at? Okay, I always introduce my customers through the service drive immediately after the test drive. Lou, keep moving, and intro them to a few of our service teammates. It sets a great family feeling. Great point. Let's read. I just read two people's together. I just read Jenna Hansen and Christopher Tyler Brown's together. All right, so I introduced my customers to our service department while we're waiting for finance. Then I asked that they contact me anytime they plan on coming in or making an appointment. Christopher Tyler Brown, I bring my clients through the service drive immediately after the test drive and intro them into a few of our service teammates. It sets a great family feeling. Great comments. Go back, read them. Let's make sure that we like our comments that we that individuals have taken time to share. There's also some great ideas in the comments. You want to give it away?
Yeah, let's give it away. Singing? Let's give it away.
Joe,
stop singing and start bringing it.
Cribs usually catches this, Joe. Can you catch?
I have a problem with the catching lately.
All right.
Let's give it a shot.
It's not what I heard.
Who said that?
Well.
Oh, okay.
Lou.
That was Lou talking smack again.
All right. Let's see.
I got
see
my
if I
stick
can get it there.
There
Good
we
catch.
Go.
Joe? Come on, Joe.
Come on now.
Come on now. Come on, somebody.
Here we
All
go.
Right, so what are we giving away first? Let's give away the sign. Let's give it the signed poster first. All right, this is the winner of the signed poster. Who we got?
We got Jay Lasko.
Jay Lasko.
Jay Lasko. Come on, now.
Jay Lasko, brother of Matt Lasko. These guys own Lasko Auto Group. These guys are the they make it happen over there. So let's pull out. We're gonna send a signed poster to Jay. Jay's a great. Jay's always listened. He's been on a couple of times. He always calls in. Always has great comments. Great guy. Great car guy.
Right, you are not mixing. Okay, now you're mixing. I was going to say, you're not mixing it up. You're just making it look like you're mixing it.
So now we're going to give away the limited edition. It says the OGs.
It's numbered. Is this number one?
Numbered, yes. Numbered. This would be number, one of them.
Whoa.
It'll be
number one gets put away in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these are numbered, and they're only a very, very, very small limited amount. And this is the, Lou, I got a little AirPlay code that popped up here on the screen. So it says the OGs of Automotive Podcast. Ready? Here we go. The winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Ready, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Oh,
it landed.
Dropped the ball. And the winner of the numbered limited edition t-shirt is...
Kevin Kulma.
Kevin Kulma.
All right.
It went away. K-U-L-M-A. Kevin Kulma. Hey, Kevin, I don't know you. Man, thank you. Congratulations on the shirt. Thank you for sharing. And Tria will message you and get your size. And awesome show, guys.
That's right.
Yes,
it's another
is.
Showdown.
Awesome.
No. Okay. All right. All right, guys. Hey, see you next week.
See you.
Adios.